This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
And I think too many people are just sitting around just letting the devil just beat them up and frustrate them and aggravate them and steal from them and torment them, and they don't even try to fight back. You know, you can't win the war if you don't go to the battle. This morning, I want to start off by talking to you about seven ways that the devil deceives people. Because you have to understand that the devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. He doesn't know how to do anything but lie. And deception means to believe a lie. So if we were to say a person is deceived, that means that they're believing something that's not true, but it has actually become their reality because they believe it. Do you realize that whatever you believe becomes your reality, even if it's not true at all? You can believe that somebody doesn't like you, and you go through all the same torment that you would if somebody really didn't like you. And maybe the person has never had one bad thought about you in their life. Maybe they don't, haven't even thought about you at all. See? Sometimes we think everybody's thinking about us all the time, what we're doing and what we're wearing. You know, a lot of times they're just, you're the last thing on their mind. And so let me just pose this to you today for you to take home and think about. How many lies do you believe? I would venture to say that there's not one of us here in this room, myself included, who doesn't still believe something that's not true. Now, will you just kind of tuck that away, take it home with you, and when you have your time with God, start asking God to reveal to you lies that you believe. Because every lie that you believe represents something the devil is stealing from you that God wants you to have. And you know, we all have a little different bent to our ministry, those of us that are called into ministry. And besides seeing people saved and helping hurting people all over the world, I really, really, really want to see people. I want Christians to be spiritually mature, not stay babies their whole life. And I really want to see people have what Jesus died for them to have. There's nothing sadder than a Christian with no victory. We need the victory to make other people hungry and thirsty for what we have. And the victory doesn't mean necessarily you have no problems. It's more about, do you let the problem have you? So, we have to know our enemy. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. See, the mind is so important. Think about what you're thinking about. The next time you get depressed, take a moment and think about what you're thinking about. Or the next time the devil invites you to a pity party and you're sitting around feeling sorry for yourself, just ask yourself, now, what have I been thinking about? Well, you've been thinking about what you don't have, what people don't do for you, what you're not, and you can turn that around by simply thinking the way that God thinks. And the way he thinks is written in this book. This is your go-to. See? The more you know about this, I am so grateful for what I know. And I'm 43 years into this, so naturally, I know quite a bit by now, but I got it the same way you'll get it, one day at a time, one year at a time, refusing to give up, Just think 5 years from now what you'll know that you don't know now. And the devil doesn't want you to know anything. He'll do everything he can to keep you from having any knowledge. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Okay, say right now, it's not going to be me. Satan was once a beautiful, magnificent archangel. He was in charge of worship. Matter of fact, it appears that his body was made up of musical instruments. So every which way he turned, he got a different sound. An archangel. There's a handful of archangels. They're above the other angels. And he got so full of himself that he rebelled against God, and he said, I will lift my throne above the throne of God. Well, you know, that doesn't work for the devil, and it won't work for any of us. It's God's way or no way. And so, long story short, he ended up getting kicked out of heaven with one third of the angels that were following him, and he's been here on earth ever since, trying to get back at God by trying to do harm to God's children. You know, as a parent, it hurts you worse to see your kids hurt than it does if you were hurt yourself. And so God has provided a way for us. We are not left without help. And the thing that we have to realize is we have been given authority over the devil. When God created Adam and Eve, he gave them authority and put them in the garden. When they sinned, they gave that authority back to the devil. He said to Jesus, when Jesus was being tempted out in the wilderness those 40 days and 40 nights, he said, these are mine and I'll give them to whomever I desire. Well, he does have power here because Adam gave it to him, but Jesus stripped him of that power. He took it away from him and he gave it, that authority, not power, and he gave it back to anyone who would believe. And so I love Luke 10:19, especially in the Amplified Bible. It says, behold, which means look and see, I have given you power and authority over all the power the enemy possesses. And the thing I want you to notice is God's saying to you, I've not only given you power, but I've given you authority over all the power the enemy possesses. He didn't say the devil had authority. He says, you have power and authority. The devil only has power. When you have authority, it's a wonderful thing, but it does you no good if you don't use it, if you don't exercise it. And I think too many people are just sitting around just letting the devil just beat them up and frustrate them and aggravate them and steal from them and torment them, and they don't even try to fight back. You know, you can't win the war if you don't go to the battle. And fighting the devil is not like, you know, always like, man, when I first found out about having authority as a believer back in the 70s, I mean, I would scream at the devil and yell at the devil, I rebuke you, I rebuke you. And you know what? After years, my rebuker was worn out and the devil still had the upper hand. You know what it really means to resist the devil and he will flee? This is what I believe. I think it means when you have a problem, resisting the devil does not mean to resist the problem. It means to resist acting like the devil while you got the problem. Come on. I mean, God told me that years ago. Stop trying to get rid of the problem. Just stop acting like the devil. And see, that's what he wants. We have a problem, so now we're mad at everybody, and we're being hard to get along with, and we're being rude and unloving, and we don't want to keep our commitments because I've got problems. The thing to do when the devil's coming after you is do more right than you've ever done before in your whole life. Come on, this is a super big secret that Christians just don't get. Romans 12:21 solves the whole thing. You overcome evil with good. You understand that? You overcome evil with good. You don't hate your enemies, you buy them a present. Do you get that? All right, so deception. One of the things the devil does is he tells you lies about God all the time. He tries to make people doubt the existence of God, tries to convince people that if there were a God, then all these bad things wouldn't be happening in the world. The devil tries to convince people that they're not created by God, but in fact they are the result of a cosmic accident that occurred billions of years ago, and that their closest relative is the ape. Well, it's no wonder people in the world are discouraged. I mean, would you rather think that you're the next best thing up from an ape? Or that God created you with his own hand in your mother's womb, and he has a plan and a purpose for you, and he loves you? First Peter 5:8 says, resist the devil at his onset. Please remember that. The longer you just put up with the enemy, the more deeply rooted he gets in your soul. Well, the Bible tells us that the devil is a liar. But you know what? It also says that God has given us power and authority over all the power that the devil possesses. And so we need to ask God to help us resist the devil the moment that he begins to attack us. And that means we need God's help in recognizing those attacks. So Ginger's with me today to discuss your questions on how to fight the enemy.
Well, Lillian starts us off today with, I think, a really great question. One of those things that for any of this to work, we have to understand this. And she asks, what actually is the authority that we have over Satan?
Well, it means that, you know, like for example, you have authority over your own home. It's your home, and what's in it belongs to you, gifts from God. And so if an intruder comes in, you have a right and an authority to kick him out. And even if need be, legally, if you have to do harm to him, if he's in your property, you can do that. Well, Satan really has no right to our lives either, but he is a liar and he is the great deceiver. Now you see, Adam gave his authority to the enemy that God had given him when he and Eve disobeyed God. But as God always does, from that moment, he had a plan of redemption, and that was to send Jesus to take that authority back for us. But sadly, Ginger, so many people don't know. They don't know anything about their enemy. They're not even sure they believe the devil's real. Mm-hmm. He's not a very pleasant subject to talk about, so let's please don't talk about that. But we blame so many of our problems on people and circumstances and even on God, when it's really the devil that's behind those. You know, he can work through circumstances.
Right. I'm bad about that.
And he can even work through people that don't know any better
right.
than to let him work through them. And this is a subject that I think we need some teaching on some kind of a little rotating basis. We don't need to talk about the devil all the time. But to ignore him is one of the worst mistakes that we can make.
So knowing that, I love your example, that we have the authority to throw him out of our lives, because what Jesus did for us is huge.
And just to verbalize.
It's a game changer.
Yeah, like this morning, I don't even remember now what it was, but I had some kind of a thought that this certain thing that I'm going to be doing wasn't going to turn out well. And see, we need to recognize right away that's not God. If God tells you to do something, he's not going to also tell you it's not going to turn out well.
Right.
And so I immediately said, I said out loud, devil, you're a liar. This is going to turn out good. I resist you and take authority over you. In Jesus' name, get out of my thoughts. Mm. And so I think confessing our faith, speaking out against the enemy is a good thing. Now, I know some people think, talk back to the devil. I'm not going to do that. Well, you know what Jesus did in Luke chapter 4. Satan tried to lie to him, and often in taking scripture out of context, but Jesus knew the word, and it literally says in Luke 4, the devil said to Jesus, and Jesus said to the devil, it is written, and he quoted him a scripture.
Yeah.
The word of God is our defense against the lies of Satan.
So that's why the word being a part of us so naturally is really important. Jules from Oklahoma asks, how do you fight the devil? I pray a lot, but in this day and age, the struggle is real. Life is always throwing us obstacles in the worst way, and it makes it too easy to give in. Yeah. Is there a specific prayer that I should use, or what should I do?
Well, really what I just said is helpful, but to be honest, I think more than doing something, a lot of it is about knowing who you are, that you're God's child, and he loves you, and he wants to bless your life, but that you also have an enemy that's constantly trying to steal from you. John 10:10 says, the thief, who is the devil, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you might have and enjoy your life in abundance to the full until it overflows. Yeah. So we need to remember that all those bad feelings and bad thoughts and, you know, bad prophecies about what's going to happen to us in the future, you know, you're never going to own your own home, you'll never get out of debt, this relationship's never going to be healed, your child's not going to amount to anything. We need to realize that is not God talking to us. You know why? Because all things are possible with God.
Yeah. Well, this is a question from Cindy, but it certainly could have been my question recently or a lot of other people who are watching as well. I find the more spiritual warfare I do, like reading all of your books on the subject, the more it seems the devil comes at me. Is this common?
Yes. You know, we just finished not too long ago a seminar and a book on how to fight the devil and win. It's called Your Battles Belong to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And you and I both talked about how we experienced more of the enemy coming against us. And even at that conference, I remember you saying to me, it's going to be a while before I'm going to want to do another spiritual warfare conference with you. It's just as simple. The devil does not want you to know the truth.
Yeah.
Because the truth will make you free. John 8, 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not like this little magic thing. You read a scripture and now you're free. But when you apply that scripture to your life, that's what breaks the power of the enemy over us. He's a liar, but Jesus said, I am the truth. So the word of God is so powerful, but we have to believe that. You know, there's a scripture that says that the Israelites heard everything that we heard, but it didn't do them any good because they didn't believe. And I was thinking about that this morning, how no matter what God has given us, if we don't believe it's ours and behave as if it's ours, then the enemy's going to come right in and steal it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want people to feel like that all there is to do is just fight the devil, fight the devil, fight the devil, fight the devil. Because really, if you stay real close to Jesus, you spend time with him, and if you know the word, you meditate on that word, speak it out loud when you need to, you won't be in a fight all the time.
Well, and the way I see it, we have two options. We can stay weak, stay where we're not really being very effective, don't have the life that God wants us to, and not have to fight the devil real hard because he doesn't have anything
right.
that he cares about.
Yeah.
Or we can walk in what God wants us to be and do. We can have peace and joy and the power of Christ living in our lives
right.
and have to know how to fight back because we have an enemy who's not going to love that. And I'd rather have option two.
And fighting back is really just resisting.
Yeah.
It's just saying no. No is a glorious word. No, devil, I don't believe that. You're lying
yeah.
again, and I caught you. And so, you know, Christianity, being a victorious Christian, requires more than sitting in a building for 45 minutes on a Sunday and listening to somebody talk to you. It's pretty much a full-time thing. And it's the way we live. It becomes our life. Back in Jesus' day, they call Christianity the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the way that we live.
Yeah. Here's a question from Pam in Illinois. She says, Satan had me in his control for years before I was saved 5 years ago. Now he puts thoughts in my head and I don't want, let me try that again. Now he puts thoughts in my head I don't want and causes me to go back into my past when I want to look forward. Even when I'm praying, a thought will come out of nowhere and interrupt my praying. So how do I keep from getting frustrated when Satan's playing these games with her?
Well, first of all, you have to realize that that same thing happens to everybody.
Yeah.
And she's been saved 5 years. So she's got some experience with God, but obviously not what she will have 5 more years from now. You know, I've been studying the Word and really seriously developing a relationship with God for 45 years. So when I talk about it, it may sound a lot easier than what it is to the person that's going through it right now. But the key is to cast down those wrong thoughts. Says it in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the true knowledge of God, taking every thought captive unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. You know, here, let's just look at it like this. The devil will do whatever you put up with. And so, if you just put up with it, then he'll just keep doing it.
That's right.
But if you say no long enough, he'll get the idea. And you know, in the beginning, when I first started learning about this casting down wrong thoughts, I remember saying to the Lord one evening, I am so worn out, I feel like all I do all day is cast down one wrong thought, cast down another wrong thought, cast down another wrong thought. And he showed me something very good. He said, just think about good things and then the enemy won't have any room to put bad things in your mind. So the more we think about what we can do for other people, how we can be a blessing, what God's done for us, things like that, there's no room for the enemy to get in.
Yeah, that's great. I love that idea. All right, I think we have time for one more.
Okay.
This is Sean from Michigan. How do I fight the devil with severe OCD and anxiety? I overthink everything I do, and it destroys any happiness, any means to relax. I've given my life to Christ, but this is tearing me down.
Well, I don't know how severe his situation is, but some people's are severe enough that they need to get some professional help.
Mm-hmm.
If he's going to go for counseling, I strongly recommend that it be a Christian counselor that can mix the Word of God in with whatever advice that she's giving him. Sometimes people have chemical imbalances in their body and they may need to take some medication. A lot of Christians have the idea that it's wrong to take medication. And a doctor told me recently, I said, I don't like taking that particular thing because it makes me feel weak. And he said, you should thank God every day that he created what you need. Now, taking medicine can be abused. That doesn't need to be our first line of defense. nor am I telling him run and get three or four bottles of pills. You know, it's a combination of learning to trust God more and learning to not get so upset about stuff. And I used to be hanging from the chandeliers all the time, upset about something. And my husband and I would go through the same things together, and he'd just be peaceful and calm. And it would really irritate me. I thought, why is he so lucky that he's just so peaceful all the time and I'm upset all the time? But I was allowing myself to be upset, and it really was because I had not had enough experience with God yet to really know how to trust him. You know, when we're trying to trust God, that may be good. It's a way to get started. But we have to come into truly trusting God before that rest and peace comes to us. I do know that God is faithful, and he will not let him down. And if he continues to seek for an answer in Christ, he will find the right one.
It's very encouraging. Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
We have to start off by knowing that the mind is the battlefield. You've got to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Pay attention to what you're thinking when you're driving down the highway, kind of blank-headed. And next thing you know, you're thinking about all these bad things about somebody, or how this person drives you crazy. And you can't just own that thing and go ahead and think on it and meditate on it. You need to say no. That's a very good word to learn out loud. No. I'm going to think about something that's going to benefit me, not something that's going to upset me and make me mad. Amen? So the first thing that we'll talk about, the seven ways the devil attacks, and I hope I get to all of them. Seven ways the devil attacks. The devil wants us to be a fault finder. Because boy, if we can keep our mind, or if he can keep our mind on all the faults of everybody else, then we never see our own. And we can't do anything about somebody else's, but we could do something about our own if we would work with God. The devil wants us to be fault finders, focusing on all the faults of others and being blind to our own faults. If a believer sees nothing wrong with himself and a great deal wrong with others, then the devil has won. And all the social media, please don't get on social media and tell your friends all about what somebody else did, when all you're doing is spreading a rumor that you don't even know is true. And even if it was true, according to the Bible, we're not supposed to spread it. And I'm glad you're clapping, but I want you to get this. Do not, as a child of God, get on that thing and spread rumors and gossip. Most of the time when people are talking about somebody else, they don't even have a clue what they're talking about. We only have one hope in the days that we're living in. And you'll hear me talk about it tonight, but I'll be talking about it throughout the weekend. We only have one hope of getting out of the mess that we're in, and that's love. The main message in the Bible is God loves you, and he wants you to love everybody else, including yourself. That's the royal law of liberty, according to the Apostle James. And if we do that, we fulfill all the law and all the prophets. So if you love people, you will not judge them. You will not gossip about them. You will not tell their secrets. Because love prevents us from doing all that. So anytime that we do those kind of things, we are not walking in love. And there's all kinds of, you know, good scriptures to back up this thing about not judging. I'll just read you one that you're familiar with, Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? I love the translation that says the telephone pole in your own eye. So, I mean, if we're going to believe what the Bible's saying, he's saying we judge people for these little things about them that irritate us, and we've got much bigger problems. But if the devil can keep us busy looking at what's wrong with everybody else, then we stay blind to our own deal. Romans 2 says, you have no excuse, no matter who you are, when you pass judgment on somebody else, for the same things you judge other people for, you do yourself. Huh? No. You know why? We've always got an excuse for ourselves. But for other people, there is no excuse. There is no excuse for you to behave like that. I say we look at others through a magnifying glass and at ourselves through rose-colored glasses. Back up to Matthew 7. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly how to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Anger and unforgiveness is involved in all these things. One of the number one problems we have in the world today is hatred. Hatred, division. It's in the church, it's between denominations. It's certainly in the world, but we won't even bother talking about them. Let's just talk about us. I wonder how many people actually walked in here today that you could say with an honest heart, there is nobody, not one person, that I am mad at right now or offended at. Come on now, you've gotten quiet. I think we should be able to go to bed every night and say, God, thank you that I'm not mad at anybody. See, you quiet. Quiet. This is a serious issue. You know why? Because in Ephesians 4, it tells us plainly, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't give the devil any such foothold. So when we stay angry, we're opening a door for the devil. Don't go to bed angry. Come on, I remember those years, dumb, when I would go to bed mad at Dave. And I mean, I could sleep on the seam of the mattress because I didn't want him touching me. I'm not going to touch him. And then he'd have all the cover, and I'm not asking him for any cover. Then I'd just lay there and freeze all night. He had a good night's sleep. And what did I get? A headache, a stomach ache, tired the next day from no sleep. It's stupid. The stuff we do is stupid. It didn't change Dave. Dave is still the same. It's just now I've changed and the stuff don't bother me anymore. Come on, can I get a message across to you God is not interested in changing all the people that you think bother you. He brought you here to change you so they don't bother you anymore. God's not going to get rid of everything in the world that aggravates you. He wants us to get to the point where it doesn't bother us. Come on. This is what spiritual maturity is. You know what? The amount of time that we're all here, let's don't blow it and be miserable all the time over stuff that we can't do anything about. You didn't hear me. You can't change your husband. Well, I'm going to try. Well, go ahead and I'll see you next year and tell you the same thing all over again. Come on, I remember with the kids growing up, if you're going to live in my house. Come on, how many of you have given your kids that speech? If you're going to live in my house. Well, they did live in my house, and I guess we helped them some, but I've got great kids now. You know, just because your kids don't do everything the way you'd like them to do it, that doesn't mean that they won't grow up and be great human beings. Teach them right. Give them a little bit of space. Come on, who are you mad at? You're not justified in it no matter what they did to you. I'm sorry, but that's Bible. No matter what they did to you, you are not justified in not forgiving them. Now, come on, don't get mad at me early. Because it was the devil working through them to start with, and the only way you can get the devil back is to forgive and pray for them. And as far as judging other people, the only thing we really should do when we see a fault in somebody is pray for them, not judge them and criticize them. How many of you think if you put more energy into just praying about these things, things might go better? Number two, way the devil tries to deceive you. He wants us to be proud and think. See, think again. Think that we know it all. We know more than everybody else. Come on, how many of you ladies have a husband that's never wrong? Yeah. Well, I won't say anything else because mine's here. And you know, fault finding, for that matter, is the fruit of pride. You got to be so careful that you don't think you're superior to other people. Maybe you do have some strong gifts and talents, and maybe you are faster than other people, or you learn quicker than other people. But that's only because God gifted you in that way, and you didn't get to pick your gifts, and they didn't get to pick theirs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and mind and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your path straight. And I love verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Not to be insulting, but you're not as smart as you think you are. And you know what? You can have all kinds of education and have no wisdom. Man, I've been wanting to write a book on Proverbs, and I didn't know how in the world I was ever going to write a whole book on Proverbs because it talks about probably 200 different subjects. Last weekend, I thought, you know what, I'm just going to sit down here and start. It's amazing. A lot of times with God, you just got to put your foot in the water, and then He goes to work. Well, I'm on chapter 7 now. But the thing is it's wisdom. The reverential fear and awe of God is the beginning of wisdom. Well, where did that go? What happened to the fear of the Lord? You know what the fear of the Lord is? It means that you recognize God's power and how strong he is and how sovereign he is, to the point that you would rather do anything other than offend him. See, that'll keep you from talking about other people. That'll keep you from getting full of yourself and being proud, because we have not a I'm afraid God's going to hurt me, but a reverential, I know who God is. I know what he can do. I know that he means what he says. It's the beginning of wisdom. We cannot even have any wisdom at all if we don't have reverential fear of God. And who's teaching that? When's the last time you heard a really good sermon on the reverential fear and awe of God? Yes, God loves you, but you need to hear other things other than he loves you. And yes, his grace is amazing, but that's not the only thing the Bible talks about. Our God is an all-consuming fire. He's merciful, but he deserves reverence and a knowledge that, well, I'll just put it like this, don't mess with me. You may not like that way of putting it, because we all want to think that, you know, God is just sugar and spice and everything nice, but he's only going to put up with wickedness and evil and sin and hypocritical behavior for so long. And then because he loves us, he deals with us. Not to hurt us, but because he doesn't want us to stay that way. You know what? I'll tell you the absolute truth. I would be afraid to get up here in this pulpit and try to preach if I was mad at my husband. You say, why would you be afraid? Because all I have is my anointing. I'm not fancy. I don't sing. I don't play a musical instrument. If the preaching is not good, I can't go get my guitar and sing you a song. And so I've walked out on these platforms thousands of times and looked at all these thousands of people, and they're waiting for me to say just the right thing. I came for a word from God. Everybody loves to put that on you. And I can't get up here angry and bitter and resentful and pretending. If you want to carry God's anointing, you got to live the life. You can't just have the bumper sticker. You got to live the life. And you have to live it when nobody's looking. Because God sees everything. And that's also made clear in Proverbs. So be not wise in your own eyes. I tell God all the time, I cannot do this without you. I am nothing without you. Any success that I have is only because of you. It's healthy to remind yourself that if God doesn't help you, you're finished. You know, Paul was extremely intelligent. I mean, however many degrees you could have had in Paul's day, he had them. And I think education is wonderful. I say get all of it that you can. I know some people that are just, they're so smart, and I wish sometimes I was that smart. But you know what? I would rather have wisdom, which is actually sanctified common sense. I would rather have common sense than to have a PhD behind my name. I've got an HSD, a Holy Spirit degree. Yeah, it would be nice to have the others. I didn't get that opportunity, and I'm grateful for people that do, but even those people aren't as smart as they think they are. Because God's still it. So Paul, brilliant Paul, with all the degrees that you could have, he said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, I have resolved to know nothing except Christ Jesus and him crucified. Isn't that interesting? What revelation was Paul coming to? I've got all this stuff, but what good does it do me without Jesus? Number three, the devil wants us to think, everybody say think, that God doesn't hear and won't answer our prayers. So we either won't pray or we won't persist in prayer, because prayer is probably the most dangerous thing to the devil. When a righteous man prays, tremendous power is made available. And I tell you, I don't know why, but just in the last 2 years, I've been drawn more and more toward paying attention to my prayers. And it just blows me away, the stuff that God does for us if we just ask him to. And most of the kind of stuff I'm talking about, it's not even great big things. It's little things. But things that mean so much to me. The things that cause me to know that God cares about me and that he's working in my life. Matthew 7 says, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. We got to be persistent. I'm not going to shut up, God, till I see a breakthrough. God likes that. He likes that kind of persistence. That's not being rude. That's being persistent. Pray about everything. Everything that comes up, just pray. This morning, I was ready to walk out the door, and my assistant said, do you have your contacts in? And I said, oh. So I was leaving right at the minute I needed to leave to get here when I wanted to be here, and now I had to go back and put my contacts in. So the first thing I said is, Lord, I need you today to help me get these in the first time. And he did. He helped me. So that's when we remember to say, thank you. Come on, pray, 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 pray. Pray about everything. You don't have to be on your face or on your knees or in a closet or in the dark or with your eyes shut. It's good to have those set apart times with God. I have that every morning. But pray your way through the day. And don't let the devil lie to you and tell you that God doesn't hear your prayers. You say, yeah, but the things that I've done wrong, why is God going to listen to me? Because you don't go in your name, you go in the name of Jesus. And the Amplified says that when we go in the name of Jesus, we're presenting to God all that Jesus is. Don't you love that? I ask you to do this for me in Jesus' name. Not because I deserve it, but because he does.
Well, I encourage you to remember that we need to be watchful for the enemy's deception in our lives. Let's pray our way through every day and ask God to reveal to us the lies that we may believe. Today we're offering you the book that I've written, Your Battles Belong to the Lord, and the study guide that goes with it. Why not just go that extra little step and do the study guide? Because the more you study, reading is great, but the more you study, the deeper it's going to get on the inside of you. So stay with me, because right after this, I want to pray for you concerning your finances.
We all face struggles and do everything we can to overcome them. But sometimes victory seems hard to come by. Discover how you can find that victory and overcome struggles with Joyce's new book, Your Battles Belong to the Lord, and its companion study guide. Find out who your real enemy is and learn you don't have to fight your battles alone. And with the study guide, become more than a conqueror as you go through each chapter studying scripture, arming yourself to take action toward the victory. Your Battles Belong to the Lord book and study guide are available today for your gift of $30 or more. Contact us now Visit online at joycemeyer.org or call 1-800-727-9673.
Take the time you need and just breathe. Conquer fear and anxiety and be sweet to your soul at the Love Life Women's Conference. Get recharged through powerful messages from Joyce Meyer.
You are a woman of God and women are powerful. World, watch out. Here we come.
Stephen Furtick.
God is fighting for you. You get his help. You get his strength. You get his miracles.
Annie F. Downs.
You feel like you're in the fire. I'm here to say that God is going to pull you out.
Lisa Osteen Combs.
He is my strong tower, and I can run to him, and I will always be safe.
Dave Meyer. And music with Torrin Wells and Chris Tomlin. Join us in peachy, sun-kissed Atlanta, Georgia, or high up in the mountains of Denver, Colorado. Space is limited. Register by the end of April for special pricing at joycemeyer.org/lovelife.
If you are a medical care professional, we need your help. In fact, people all over the world need your help. And it's an opportunity that will change your life as well. You see, through our volunteer medical trips, we travel all over the world to places that are very remote and have desperate need of health care. So go to our website, check out the schedules, and join us right here. We hope to see you soon.
Now remember, prayer is very powerful. So I don't want you to sit there and just let me pray. I want you to be in agreement with me because this prayer is something that can be life-changing for you. You know, we all need and want money, and most people would probably say they don't have enough of it. So let's pray. Father, we come to you today concerning our finances. And you've told us, especially in the book of Proverbs, to be prudent. And that means to be a good manager of everything that you've given us. So first of all, I pray that all the people that are hearing me right now would become very good stewards and managers of what you've given them. I pray that they would be givers, very generous givers, because we cannot reap off of a seed that we have not sown. And Father, I pray for people if they need better jobs, that you would give them favor and help them get better jobs. If they're being overlooked at the job they have and they really deserve to be promoted or to make more money, I pray that you would open the eyes of their supervisors, their bosses, and help them see how valuable they are. I pray, Lord, that people would work with you to get out of debt. We don't have to live our life with all kinds of debt. It's oppressive. Show them a plan to get out of debt. Father, if there's people who need jobs and they have not been able to find a job, you tell us that you surround us with favor. So I pray that you would give all these people favor when they go out to look for jobs, that people will just like them and want to hire them. And I pray that they would be hard workers, good workers, honest on their job, and that they will see the day when they will no longer struggle for finances. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and get ready for God to bless your finances.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.